Hi, I'm so glad that you chose to hang out with us today. It means so much to us to spend a few minutes with you, and we're trusting that today's message is going to be a special one. We have an illustrated message from last Christmas. This is part two, but you're going to enjoy it so much, and we're trusting that God is going to speak to you through it. And of course, I'm Marcus Meekum, if you don't know that yet. And from our family, our church family, to your family, we're trusting that this is going to be an incredible Christmas season. And to God be all the glory for Emmanuel, the God that is with us. He's not just with us, he is for us. And that's a big deal, because some of us go through these holiday seasons and it's not easy. We face losses. The holiday reminds us of those losses, but he is with you and he is for you. And that means that victory is in front of you, that God's best is still in front of you in Jesus' mighty name. I want to remind you also that not just is it Christmas season, but as soon as our broadcast ends, you can hang out with us and experience our Christmas Eve services. And that's not something you want to miss. And so they'll give you instructions on how to do that. Let's get right to the message.
In Luke 19 and verse 3, it says that the crowd hindered Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus. It's the same with you. The crowd always has a way of hindering you from seeing Jesus. And it's so easy to get lost in a crowd, isn't it? You could choose the type of crowd you want to talk about, even a religious crowd like this. Crowds all across the world on Christmas, people will be in the crowd, but somehow, some way, they'll miss catching a glimpse of why he came.
All of creation is looking for a savior. For the wise men, it was a star that pointed them to the savior. For Zacchaeus, it was a tree. For most, it is a person. A person who bears the responsibility of being the branches upon which we stand, so we may get a better view of our savior.
We left. I told her, I said, it's time that we leave. And nobody around me understood it at all. I didn't honestly understand it, but I knew that there was something, and now that I know it was the Holy Spirit, it was God just tracking me down, and I had to respond. I knew I had to respond.
But I left there and I went home, got in the shower, and just felt like something was pulling at me. I couldn't understand what it was at the moment, and just kept crying. I just didn't realize what was going on. That's when I see the Bible laying there that my mom had gifted me, and I actually have it here. She gifted this to me in 1998 on Christmas. It was the last Christmas gift that she had given me. She gave Josh one as well. And again, I probably have not opened a Bible in, man, maybe a couple of decades, probably. So I open it up, and on the front cover, and you got to realize, I didn't even remember my mom writing this. I had no idea why I was so drawn to open the Bible. She had wrote on the inside of the Bible just a small little message. So it says, Jeremy, the most important thing that you can do in your life is to pray and read God's word. Don't just read it, but live it, walk it, and talk it. His word is life, and it leads to eternal life. I love you, son, and will always pray for you. And it says, love, mom. And at that moment, I felt like getting on my knees, and I was beside my bed, and I said, God, if you're real, come into my heart, show me who you are. And it wasn't like some magic potion came down and I'm just completely changed, this brand new person. But I know one thing, whatever happened in my heart at that moment, it triggered something. The things that I thought was everything to me, all of a sudden started just feeling like it's not a big deal. those things do not even appeal to me. I don't know, it was super weird. I wake up the next morning, he comes over, and we hadn't spoke to each other the night before, and he came over to pick me up. We were going somewhere.
What he didn't know also was we weren't together that night that that I felt like the Lord was calling me. And I began to tell Jeremy, I don't know what it is, man. I said, I've made a decision to walk away from this life. At the time, we owned the marketing company, and I just knew what God had done in my heart. And I told him, I said, I'm making a decision to give up, to walk away from alcohol, to walk away from everything that just consumed our life at the time. I had no idea that Jeremy was going through the same exact thing at the same time. I had no idea.
And I think the biggest crucial part for both of us, and we can truly say this, reading what my mom wrote us, watching my mom as we grew up, my mom was a light. She was the tree for our family. She held us together.
I remember just being so lost into this world. And, you know, I try to, hey, mom, you know, I have to go. There were things of this world that just had such a hold on my life. And she would just grab me like, son. It didn't matter what she was going through. She just stood solid, man. It didn't matter what she was going through or the sickness, the pain that she was in. She'd always point us to the Word. And at the time, I didn't want anything to do with it. But I know that that gift that she had planted, that seed that she had planted in our life, I'm so grateful that it's growing, it's flourishing now in our life. And she was solid, man. She was the most solid person I had ever met in my entire life. One of the biggest things I've realized in being a Christian now for about 3.5 years, almost 4 years now, looking back at the goals that we had set, not living for Christ, we'd set a goal, we would get there, unfulfilled. Now looking at this time in our lives, living for Jesus, He takes us there. And He takes us from glory, instead of goal to goal to goal, it's glory to glory to glory. And He just moves us up, and He takes us, and He takes us, and it's all about Him. And it's just joy, peace, and fulfillment in every single glory moment. It's amazing. And I don't understand it all, but I trust Him with every part of me.
I don't want you to miss it. We're zeroing in on it, why He came. We're zeroing in on it. We're tightening the scope. Next part of this story is super interesting, what happens with Zacchaeus. But I want to just take you through just a personal story real quick. Years ago, me and the girls always wanted a real Christmas tree. And so we'd go over on Dixie Highway, and we'd always go be looking for the perfect Christmas tree. Anybody else do real Christmas trees in here? Anybody else? Just show your hand real quick. I can see you. Oh, we got some people right in the middle. So the rest of y'all, you do the fake Christmas trees? The hypocrite trees? I knew I was in the right church. We're gonna deal with some stuff tonight. And the last year we did a real Christmas tree, so I know why you avoid it. There was this family. I mean, it was a knockdown, drag out, tears, screaming, just fight. Like, we probably never talk again kind of family fight over a Christmas tree. And in the middle of this fight, no one's talking, I just decided to start singing that old Christmas song, "Oh Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, how lovely are your branches." Not impressed, I get it. Me either. And now for almost 20 years, every time there's a family fight, somebody in the family breaks out
Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree. But in this story of Zacchaeus, there is a search for something that will help him see Jesus. And really, the perfect tree when it comes to the Christmas story is anyone or anything that helps you see Jesus. For Zacchaeus, it was his liability. It was the area he was short that helped him and drove him to go look for a tree. That tree not only helped him see Jesus, but it also allowed Jesus to see him. There's something about finding that tree. For the McCullough brothers, we've been talking about it. It's amazing how it was their mom who pointed them to Jesus. Their mom was the perfect tree. Maybe somebody invited you here tonight. Maybe it's your mom, your dad, your wife, your husband. But you're here. And they're kind of like the McCullough brothers' mom. They keep pointing you to Jesus. Matter of fact, you're probably exhausted and tired of it because they keep talking about this Jesus over and over and over again. But the important thing that the McCullough brothers' mom did is she pointed them to Jesus and she pointed them to this book. But the important thing she wrote in the book, which you have to open it to discover what's in it, she would write to her sons, Jeremy and Josh, the most important thing you can do in your life is to pray and read God's word. Don't just read it, live it, walk it, talk it. His word is life and it leads to eternal life. I love you, son, and will always pray for you. Love in Christ, Mom. You see, the Bible is the word of God. And it's not like a book of the month kind of thing. This is the book of ages. Someday, our closed Bibles will testify against us. You see, Martin Luther said, the Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. George Mueller said, the vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our lives. Charles Spurgeon would say, nobody ever outgrows the scripture. The book only widens and deepens with our years. But you got to open the book. The Bible says in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7 that the word of God increased and the disciples multiplied. Acts 10 and verse 44 says that the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard God's word. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20, verse 9, that the word was in his heart, but it was like fire shut up in his bones. It went on to say in 55, verse 11, that my word will not return back void, but it will accomplish what I desire it to achieve and fulfill the purpose for which I sent it. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 says, do not diminish his word. Psalms 107 and verse 20 says he sent his word and it healed them. Dr. Adrian Rogers said, the key to understanding the Bible is look for Jesus in the Bible. Jesus is the hero of the Bible. If you read the Bible and you don't find Jesus, you should reread the Bible. The Bible has one hero. His name is Jesus. One villain, that is Satan. One problem, that is our sin. One solution, and that is salvation. That's what the Bible is all about. But to finish our stories and to answer the question why Jesus came, we got to look at one more thing. Let's check it out.
This man that would come into my home to break bread with a man like me, a man reviled and despised by his own people. I'm a cheat, a thief. Not only that, but I am the chief of them. My fortune made on the backs of fellow Jews, which I am kin. In spite of all this, you show me kindness. And it is in this kindness that I feel the winds of change in my own heart. What if I didn't walk away from the crowd? What if I didn't climb that tree? What did I do to deserve this? This is grace. You see something different in me. You love me as you find me.
I've been strong and I've been broken within a moment. I've been faithful and I've been reckless at every bend. I've held everything together and watched it shatter. I've stood tall and I have crumbled in the same. I have wrestled and I have trembled towards surrender. Chased my heart adrift and drifted home again. Plundered blessing till I've been desperate to find redemption. And every time I turn around,
if Zacchaeus ends at a table, you can be seated. Really, the entire Bible story ends at a table called the marriage supper of the Lamb. One of the most prominent images in Jesus' ministry was a table. Most interesting thing about Jesus, one of the things that people struggled with the most, is that he excluded no one from his table. All he ever looked for was a simple yes. The table is irrelevant if you don't have a need. Your brokenness, your sin, your shortness, the area that you have a liability is the very thing that brings purpose to the table. It really is our liabilities, our weakness, our sin, our struggles, our fears, our doubts, our questions. All of that brings purpose to the table. Luke chapter 5 begins to discuss with us that one of the biggest scandals surrounding Jesus' ministry was who he shared his table with. He was known for being a friend, listen to this, not of the religious, but of the sinner. If you want to know who Jesus was to hang out with, he loves to hang out with sinners. You see, the problem with that, though, in Jesus' day is if you were holy, you didn't hang out with the unholy. If you were clean, you didn't hang out with the unclean. Because there was this idea that what was on someone else would, what was wrong with someone else would contaminate what was right with you. But Jesus reversed the flow, and he would reach out and he would touch the leper, the sinner, the drunkard, the prostitute, the tax collector, the thief, the crooked people. All of these people were not only touched by Jesus, but they were welcome at his table. The Bible says that every single one of them he touched was made whole. You see, what's amazing in church life, if you do this long enough, is how many people say things like, oh, if I ever came to church, the ceiling would fall in on me. The Bible says the reason he came was to seek and save that which is lost. We ask the question up front, why did he come? Why was he born in the manger? Why did he show up on this messed up planet? To seek and save that which is lost. That's what the story of Zacchaeus teaches us. You see, you thought you had to search for the perfect Christmas tree. But what we came to tell you tonight is the perfect Christmas tree actually came looking for you. Jesus came looking for us. You know, the Bible actually says that Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. It doesn't say that Zacchaeus invited Jesus. Jesus said, hey, I'm coming to your house. And it's the same today. He's inviting himself because he's still seeking. He's still saving because that's why he came. That's the whole point. That's what Christmas is all about. Whatever somebody says it's all about he came to seek and save that which is lost. And if you miss that, you miss the whole thing. The Bible says this, that he stands at the door of our heart and he knocks. And I love the next part. It says, so he can come in. If you'll open up, he'll come in and dine with you. But some of you have left Jesus on the porch tonight. Standing at the door, he knocks, and you're like, man, I can't open this heart. It's a broken heart. I can't open this heart. It's a bitter heart. Why would he want anything to do with this heart? It's a hardened heart. It's a neglected heart. It's a bitter heart. It's a deceitful heart. Jeremiah 17 says that the heart is desperately sick, and who could ever understand it? But then it goes on to say that the Lord knows how to search the heart. See, all those things that you think are going to help fix the heart, they just make it more and more and more sick and more sick and more sick. But if you open up your heart, the Bible says he comes in and he dines with you. He wants to set the table tonight. He wants a relationship with you. Every single one of you, he came to seek and save that which is lost.
One of my favorite images of God is how that father runs out to meet his prodigal son. Years ago, I preached a message on the God who runs. The God who runs. Wherever you're at, if you'll just turn towards him, he'll run and he'll meet you right where you're at. That's the thing I love about mercy, is mercy's not off in some distant place that you've got to try to find. Mercy is running after you. You've just got to stop and turn towards it. Maybe today you feel like you're so far from God. Mercy is running after you. Stop. Turn towards it. You don't have to live in shame. You don't have to live in guilt. You don't have to live in bondage one day longer. God in his mercy is running to meet you right where you're at. Maybe just right now, right where you're at. Just say, God, I'm done running. I'm going to let you catch me. I'm going to let you grab a hold of me. I'm going to let your will be done in my life. Just right where you're at. Just say, God, I'm done running. Just say it. That's what all a prayer is just talking to God. Just right where you're at. Say, God, I'm done running. Forgive me. cleanse me, wash me, free me from shame, free me from sin, free me from my past. And in Jesus' name, I give you my heart. Just right where you're at, say, I know that you're Emmanuel, that you came to this earth, that you died on a horrible cross, that you rose again from the grave, and I invite you into my life now. I give you my life in Jesus' mighty name. If you prayed that prayer, or in this holiday season, you're up against anything, and you would like us to pray with you, or you would like us to agree with you in an area of your life, take that next step and call the number on the screen. We would love to hear from you. We would love to pray with you. Anything we can do just to be a blessing to your life in this holiday season, it would be a blessing to us to hear from you. Email us, talk to us, come and hang out with us at our Christmas Eve services. As soon as this broadcast is done, you can experience our Christmas Eve services this year with us. We would love to have you. Hey, listen, once again, from our church family to you, Merry Christmas. We'll see you next week. Thank you.